Jesús, religión, Biblia, iglesia, cultura, posmodernidad, reforma. Los grandes relatos ya se cayeron a pedazos. ¿Acaso sabremos seguir siendo discípulos y discípulas del Maestro en estos tiempos críticos? La Rebelión de los Santos es un podcast sobre fe y espiritualidad para intentar sobrevivir al fin de la historia.
Vishal Mangalwadi es un filósofo, conferencista y escritor indio. Su producción intelectual lo llevó a denunciar la exclusión y la corrupción política de la India, acción por la que fue encarcelado. Sus libros promueven la reforma social y la crítica cultural con un fuerte componente filosófico.
Vishal, thank you very much for finding the time so we can have this conversation. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Struggling with trying to complete a book and a project to change the future of education globally. So it's been a tough season for us, but it's coming to an end. So I'm very glad to be talking to you because I enjoyed our time together in Chile.
Yeah, indeed. And with the coronavirus and everything, you are now in near California. How are you doing there?
Well, I'm doing well. I like the fact that I'm not allowed to travel around and go around. So it's been good for writing. Chile, I went to South Korea last year. And from South Korea, that's exactly a year ago, I was supposed to be traveling to Europe, Africa, back to Europe, actually 2 months in India in between. So, but all of that was canceled because of COVID-19 related restrictions.
And I'm really happy that you finally have the time after all the projects to have this conversation. I wanted to have a little talk with you about the chapter of my book that's called Abracadabra, When the Name of God is Used as a Good Luck Charm. And I would like to start with a little cultural criticism. Do you think that people today use the name of God in order to legitimize certain kinds of behaviors socially, politically, economically? And where do you observe this kind of phenomenon?
Well, this has actually been the norm throughout history all over the world. Therefore, God gave the command, you shall not use the name of the Lord in vain. But when we begin to use God's name to exploit people and the church, not just the Roman Catholic Church, but the Charismatic Church, the Pentecostal Church, the Evangelical Church, have all this tendency that to misuse the name of the God, the Lord, for making money. That's a serious matter because God's name is to be feared. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But if we misuse God's name, we're not fearing God, not revering God in our hearts, but exploiting God, or at least the word God.
The history of Christianity has seen time and again that using the voice of God and the truth of God, His words, can really exert an immense power to move masses and to change people's minds. There are phrases like, it is God's will, that has been used to legitimize all kinds of things, from wars to marriages. What can we learn from history about this using of God's name in this way?
Well, it's the very reason for the command not to use the name of the Lord in vain is that we should be those who seek truth, who seek wisdom, who use words. Why? Because the word is what created the cosmos. The lips, the words, is the fruit of life. That's what Proverbs says, that the tree of life is really the fruit of our lips, our words. They give life, they can give death. And therefore, God will hold us accountable for every word speak. And that's why the control over our tongue. So James, in his epistle, is very strong about how we use our tongue and our words. And Proverbs is full of that. So the God's desire for integrity of our hearts, that we listen to Him and we communicate His words and not use words in His name to manipulate. That's false prophet. That's what false prophets do.
Yeah.
So building a culture in which people can trust our words, because it's by believing God's word that we are saved. And but by believing false things, we damn ourselves and we enslave others. So the words have the power to set us free. The words have the power to enslave us, loot us, manipulate us, ills us. And that's why language is a gift of God. And our words have to be used very carefully, particularly when we claim to be speaking in God's name. Because the reality of the gospel, or the marvel of the gospel, is that God gives us the authority to use His name. We have the authority as God's children to use His name to bind Satan, to bind demons, to heal the sick, to change the future. So, if we are God's children, we ought to revere His name so passionately that we do not want His name to be abused and misused. And that's why it's being an irresponsible child, like a prodigal son, who is using the resources of his father for sin. And unfortunately, that's happening a lot in the name of the religion. And that's the distinction between false religion and true religion. Am I using God's name to really bring honor to my Father? Hallowed be your name. That's the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So His name should be held holy. And that means we have to be very careful in how we use God's name.
Yeah. This idea of God's name being holy is like, is a really special thing. It's not something that we can share like it's nothing. Holy means that it's special and that you need to give special attention to it. I like this quotation from Jeremiah 23 that says, stop using the phrase, this is a prophecy of the Lord, because Jeremiah says that the people use this kind of phrase to give authority to their own ideas. And I think that the danger of using God's name as a good luck charm is a very palpable thing in churches today, because as Christians, we all want to do His will. And and therefore, when someone affirms, God told me so, or this comes from God, that's a powerful statement. And how can we recognize this misuse of God's name in our churches? And what are some of the signs that can warn us about this kind of manipulation. What do you think?
Well, to emphasize, re-emphasize the point that you've just made, so we're talking about the name of our father. He's my father. I don't want people to be insulting my father. I don't want people to be abusing my father's name. And I particularly have to honor my father's name. You have to honor your father's name. So if God is our father, his name has to be honored. Mm. And we live for his glory. That's the purpose of life, to know God, to love him, to enjoy him, honor him, serve him. We want his will to be done. So your question about how to recognize is an important thing. My wife was telling me yesterday or day before that some preacher was saying some things like you mentioned, it's commonly said. Yeah. And she wrote to them that this is not right, and got a long email from the apostle that if she paid so much money to their organization or to some orphanage he was recommending, that she will be blessed. So here was an apostle who was being told that, look, you're not really honoring God's name. You're misusing your position, your pulpit. It was some video on YouTube or something. And he uses more of the same language. He pays no attention to what is being said, but he uses more of the language to prophesy that she will be blessed if she donated so much money. Now, this is exactly the kind of corruption which Luther spoke up.
Yeah.
That you don't need to repent of the sin. You buy indulgences. You give money to the church because the Pope needs money to build the St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. And the Bishop Albert, Archbishop of Mainz, he needs money to repay the banks. He had borrowed money to buy the third bishopric, and he did to repay his debt. So they're selling indulgences, selling forgiveness in God's name. And that kind of thing is happening a lot. And this was just yesterday or day before, my wife was telling me that she gets this long email asking for more money. So this whole business of apostles and prophets speaking in God's blessings in God's name is really an attempt to exploit people, people who believe. But this is blind belief, and this is not, he's not edifying anything, anyone. He's looting believers in the name of God. So the question then, how do we recognize it, is that when we use the scriptures, then why is God commanding people not to use his name in vain? It's because this is a very common religious tendency.
Yeah, indeed.
For the priests, the church, the leaders, to abuse God's name for personal gain.
I think that we all interpret reality according to our own bias. We are not objective, and that is a part of the experience of being human beings. And many times, with the best intentions and the best desires, I can also fall into the trap of using God in my own image and likeness. So I have one final question for you, Vishal. How can I avoid the danger of using God's name as a good luck charm to legitimize who I am and what I do? Yeah? How can I avoid that danger?
First, we need to realize that this is not a peculiar problem for religious people. If you were in a communist country, you might be tempted to use Marx's name. So Stalin would use the name of Karl Marx and Lenin to impose his will and to exploit people. Mm-hmm. Now, in a secular environment, you might use secular pragmatism.
Yeah.
So every group which is committed to certain ideas has this tendency to exploit his vocabulary, worldview, mindset. So this is not a peculiar problem. In fact, true Judaism and Christianity, the biblical religion, is there to deliver us from these kinds of subjective, manipulative use of the language. But the God's name is an objective standard which judges me. So if I fear God, the word of the Lord, the knowledge of God, has to judge my heart, control my heart, control my words, that I submit my thoughts, my heart, my words to an objective standard of God's word. And this means moment by moment walking in the fear of God in obedience. So this is about inner holiness and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to have control over my tongue. So that's the gift of tongues and the gift of God controlling my tongue. That's the grace I need, that I'm angry and I mustn't shout to use my words, but how do I, my words become gracious and true? Asking the Holy Spirit to fill my heart, fill my mind, control my words, control my tongues, and so that I'm living for holiness, because a lot of this religiosity is very unholy, very exploitative. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to have inner holiness, purity, including in my words. That am I really using my words to bless this person or this group or this church, or am I using my words, including religious language, to exploit my audience, my family, my church, whatever. So being filled with the Holy Spirit, seeking God's Spirit moment by moment. So to be crucified, that I no longer live, I am dead. Christ lives in me. He speaks. So whatever you say, whatever you do in words and actions, you're doing it all for the glory of God, because you're glorifying your Father. You don't want anyone to dishonor your Father. That's the point of being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, being crucified to your natural self.
Well, thank you very much for your wisdom. Thank you very much for sharing these thoughts, not only with me, but with all the people that are looking some kind of answers to these kinds of problems that are really common. Thank you very much, Vishal.
Well, thank you for writing this book. May the Lord bless it and use it to bless many people.